Hello, and welcome to the first episode of the Nerd Creative Podcast. I'm Mike, and I'm joined by my pals Ian, Mark, Omar, and Erica. We're just a group of friends that come together and talk about, you know, geek movies and shows while drinking. So that's exactly what we're going to do in this podcast. We're going to drink and talk about MCU, DCU, Star Wars movies and shows and beyond. But that's going to be the focus of our conversations. And, you know, I'll call out that, you know, I'm probably the most casual fan in the group, but I've always been fascinated by this group's take and perspective on these movies and shows, you know, powered by their, you know, knowledge of source material, whether it be comic books or novels. You know, they always bring fun and unique perspectives to these movies and shows. I hope that, and we hope that you enjoy it as much as we all enjoy talking about this stuff. So with that, let's dive into our first topic of conversation on the podcast. Snyder Cut Justice League, released on March 18th on HBO Max, you know, clocking in at a whopping, you know, 4 hours. We've devoted 4 hours of our life to watching this movie. Ian, tell us, give us your first take, and we'll go around the horn, starting with Ian. But before you dive in with your take, tell us what you're drinking first.
Well, thanks for having me on. This is great. I love seeing you guys. Love talking to y'all. I am gluten-free, so I can't drink beer. I would love to. I actually said it earlier today, but I am drinking Suntory Toki. It's Suntory time, as Bill Murray would say. I have to say, honestly, I love this film compared to the theatrical release of it. This was amazing. As I'm sure most of our panel, I watched the 3-hour extended cut of BVS. And to be honest, I haven't seen that since I saw it in the theater. And everyone here could probably attest to how I felt about it. But it was actually pretty good. The 3-hour cut made much more sense. It flowed a lot better. It built relationships better. Obviously, we'll probably never watch the other BVS, but anyway. So the Justice League itself, leading into that, was amazing. Beautifully shot. I appreciated how it was drawn out, and he built up scenes and Snyder, and that's what Snyder's really good at, right? Snyder's really good at like music and finding good kind of, you know, covers of tracks to then go with like beautiful footage. And after watching the Snyder cut, I went and watched the theatrical cut of Justice League, the 2-hour version, which is ridiculous to me that it was 2 hours, but it was laughable. You know, I hope the rest of you feel the same way, that it was literally, when you see what he did with the things, and, you know, and Snyder did with the all the footage that he had, and then whatever he reshot, you know, it wasn't a lot. You know, I think you see that at the, you know, spoiler alert, at the end with Ben Affleck, that he looks like he dropped about 50 pounds between the end of the movie and the post-credit scene or the epilogue. But yeah, it's phenomenal. From beginning to end, even the choice in music compared to the original cut, like Everybody Knows, which is a great song, the original version by Tom Waits, but they do some cover of it and it takes you out of it. They're trying to show you, like, you pull at your heartstrings about Superman being dead, and it just is, it's stupid. It's really stupid. Sorry. But anyway, the 4-hour cut, I enjoyed it. I loved it. I highly recommend it if you have the time to sit through it. But I really think that Snyder knocked it out of the park. And I yield the rest of my time.
Omar, tell us your first reaction to the Justice League. And what you're drinking, sir, yes.
Well, I started with peach vodka, 376 milligrams.
Are you sure you want to admit that?
Yes. Well, half of that. Okay. Well, half of that. Okay. I drank the first half last night. I drank the other half today. And now I'm drinking Flying Dog Switch Doctor Imperial Sour Pineapple Mango. It's very delicious.
Brilliant. Tell us your first take on the Justice League Snyder Cut.
I liked it a lot. It felt kind of bloated, I'll admit. Like, they could have squeezed into 3 hours. Like, Snyder loves his slow-mo. He loves Aquaman taking his shirt off like every 5 minutes. That being said, I actually really enjoyed it. I didn't feel the 4 hours, but it felt like it could have been a trilogy. We saw parts 1 and 2 of a trilogy. So like now we need part 3 where like Darkseid actually comes to Earth. But like it really did feel like I watched 2 movies, and yeah, there should be a third movie. I can't remember much of the original one, so I can't remember too much what was different, but this definitely felt, emotionally, it felt better.
Erica, what do you think? I'm sure you've got a fresh perspective on Jason Momoa's shirtless.
I mean, the man should perpetually be shirtless. I'm sorry.
What are you drinking, Erica?
I am drinking by Little Beaver Brewery. It's a blackberry crumble a la mode. So it's blackberry, cinnamon, vanilla, and milk sugar ale.
You're saving me some. Remember that.
I have a can for you, Omar. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Erica buys in twos. It's lovely. My take, well, to kick it off, I guess the female take, yes, Jason Momoa should take off his shirt as much as possible. Nothing that tattooed should be covered. As for the movie, I enjoyed it. I honestly did. Compared to the theatrical version, which is quite, in perspective, mediocre, to whittle it down to 2 hours, to then see what 4 hours and like 2 minutes can give you is, like Ian said, laughable. Legit. Like, what, why? What, why would you even? The score was great. To your point, like in one of the scenes, I fell in love with Rose Rhett's cover of the song To the Siren, which is amazing. And that's in that flash bit. It had really great things. And I feel like it became more cohesive. You understand it more. Characters actually have a story. It's not that, like, all right, we just took everybody and put them all together and here's the Justice League. Like, now you understand why Flash is the Flash and you're just, Arthur is Arthur. Like, that gave me more, as even with the baddie, you understand why Steppenwolf is doing what Steppenwolf is doing. You know what I mean? So it gave me more. Like, it made it, I mean, Omar called it bloated. I feel like it was meatier. It gave me more to, like, to sink into, which is what I really liked about it. I mean, at this point, I've watched it 1.5 times. I have to finish the other chapter. But yes, I did enjoy it.
Okay, Mark, tell us your take. Justice League, Snyder Cut.
Hey, guys. Happy to be here. My drink is the Victory Golden Monkey, a beer to have. Like everyone else's, I thought the Snyder Cut was a lot better than what we got from Joss Whedon's version of it. Much more complete, much more effective at delivering the story. All the plot holes that were in Whedon's cut are pretty much gone. There's still some, but not nearly as many. I still don't like how he portrays Superman or Batman and some other characters, but overall, definitely a much better version of the story. And I was really impressed with how he did it. And I did watch BVS before watching this, like Ian did, the 3-hour cut on HBO Max. And yeah, it was a lot better than I remember it being. But again, like it's still the characterization of Batman and Superman that do bother me about these movies. Again, a much, much better movie than what we got. And I'm curious what they do further, if anything, more than this.
Yeah, and you know, I'll chime in with my thoughts. And you know, I am drinking as well. I'm drinking the Evil Twin, the absolutely, completely, totally, extremely, and utterly nuts stout. It's a nice 13.2% from Evil Twin, which is one of my favorite breweries. But listen, I actually really enjoyed it. I thought that the runtime helped to kind of like breathe like life into the backstories of these characters that we didn't really get in the first, in the original cut. You know, you needed that backstory on Cyborg and the Flash to, again, really just kind of like, I think, make it a bit more complete. So I really enjoyed it. I also loved how Steppenwolf looked much better and more menacing in this movie than in the first. And listen, the introduction of Darkseid, right? Like, you see the big bad, right? And he's this like a menacing figure that the Justice League should feel threatened by, this character, right? And you know, TBD on whether or not, you know, they're going to continue to make movies that focus on Darkseid. But the introduction of him as the big bad, I thought was really, really important. So while we're talking about the length of the movie, I mean, what's the team's take on like 4-hour runtime? Did we need this, right? Did it have to be that long? My take is that I've never watched a 4-hour movie before, but I didn't really feel the 4 hours. And again, I thought that length gave Snyder the opportunity to kind of build backstory, you know, building out what was going to be his franchise. So, Erica, what do you think about the 4-hour runtime?
I didn't feel it at all. I was so excited to watch it. Like, I super fangirled over it. So it was just sitting down and watching a movie. And from the opening scene, it grabs you, just like with the, you know, like the opening fight. And it was just like, it's just go. It literally wasn't like, oh, here's a buildup. Let's try to get you to the first action scene. It was from jump. And I was just like, this is dope. I'm all about it. Like, and I did the same as Ian and Mark. I watched Batman versus Superman and I loved how seamless it was from one movie to the next. Like, you literally end it where he's dying and it picks up right from that point. The hole in the chest, the scream heard around the world. Like, it was amazing. 4 hours, I mean, nowadays, honestly, 4 hours is nothing. But for a movie, yeah, it was, I didn't feel it. I thought it was great.
I completely agree. I think it was seamless as far as how it picks up. The 4 hours, now, I think all of us are cinephiles. I think all of us love movies and film. And I've seen 4-hour films in my day. I've, Heaven's Gate which is almost 4 hours long. You feel it. This guy does a 4-hour film. And yes, I agree, Omar, you're not wrong in saying it's a little bloated, you know, and things can feel a little long. But just as you're like feeling things, it switches. And the fact that he jumps around so much keeps you kind of intrigued as far as where you're going. And the fact that there were, you know, things we saw in the original trailer footage of the original theatrical cut that we didn't see in the theatrical cut that now we were seeing play out via, as you know, Erica said, with Cyborg and Flash, or Mark, sorry, and seeing that footage and just basically a totally new story. All right, so my gripes with this whole thing, right, this might be something that Mark kind of touched on. I don't know if it's the same point, but I feel like Snyder, he just really likes Superman, right? So he writes Superman. Right. He was tapped by Nolan, this from the dark Nolan verse. You know, the way they were doing it, and everyone was like, wow, DC got it right. Because at that point, DC was in front of Marvel. You know, at that point, Marvel had fizzled out with X-Men and Spider-Man and all those things. Nolan came in, he does it, it's great. DC sees the writing on the wall, like, we got to keep going with this. Nolan, they want him to produce. He picks Snyder, and Snyder does Man of Steel. Man of Steel is great. Not necessarily how I like my Superman, but it was a good take. It was a fresh take, and I enjoyed that aspect of it.
Yes.
And then it went into Batman Superman, and clearly they stepped in the way because he was going to make it a long film. And they said, no, you know, it's got to be a certain time and blah, blah, blah. So how do you tell a story when you have a vision, right? When you have a vision to tell a story, how do you then say you got to cut 45 minutes out of this? You know, that's a lot. That's a lot of pages in a script to cut out. And you go into it. And it's basically, you know, now we have a story that goes from beginning to end. And I know that he had basically a 5-picture deal, right? He had 5 pictures to do it. And he did Man of Steel. And then he did, you know, Batman Superman. There were supposed to be 3 versions of Justice League, a 3-part series that was going to play out. Mm-hmm. He got to make that. And then, you know, obviously, you know, the tragedy of his daughter that pulled him away from Justice League. They messed around with, you know, Batman Superman, but they already wanted him out before Justice League anyway. So it was just refreshing to finally see his vision. And I get it. Like, they might not make it, but you know what? A 4-hour film is a lot easier to watch on your couch than it is in a theater. I think the 4 hours, for the most part, it didn't feel like 4 hours. I watched the 2-hour version yesterday and it felt like 3 hours, but the content was crap. Going back to my gripes with what the problem was, here's, I finally found my way back to my point. He wrote Batman so stupid. Like, I'm sorry. Like I'm going to pick up and go back to Batman versus Superman. He's the world's greatest detective, isn't he? Isn't that what he's touted as?
That's my point, Ian. My point entirely.
Wouldn't he have figured out before Superman that Lex Luthor was playing both of them? Anyway, so yeah. 4-hour runtime, I loved it.
Ian brings up a good point about how the characters felt different. Jason Momoa's Aquaman felt a little less bro-ish, right? Like, I think in the original, like, he felt a little bit like, kind of like surfer dude, right? In this movie, he felt a little bit more serious. The same is true of The Flash, right? Like, you get the backstory about how he's trying to get his dad out of prison, and, you know, he was still kind of like the comedic relief in this film, but I think a little less so than in the first. Like, this film just felt a bit just more serious, right? So Mark, I don't know, what's your take? One, on the length, and also just how the characters might have felt a little bit different in this version. Did you feel that same sense?
I'll do the length first. Thanks, Omar.
Oh, I thought I was on mute. I'm sorry.
but good interruption. Thank you for that. So with regards to the length, I didn't feel the 4 hours. I kind of felt it in certain points, but not throughout the entire film. Like, there are points where I'm just like, all right, get on with it. But then like, I think Ian brought up a good point where I, like, during those times, they transition pretty quickly to something that's interesting. I think with this 4-hour cut and how good it was, it kind of tells you just how of an impossible task Whedon had. Like, there's no way he could cut 2 hours from this movie and make it good. There's no way in the world he could possibly have done that and made a coherent film. The fact that he tried, kudos to him, but he was going to fail. It was going to happen. It was not going to be good. Now, I don't like some of the things he changed. Like, I think that Snyder, for the most part, his cut, like, has a better characterization of these characters. To Mike's point, Aquaman isn't as bro-ish. He's still pretty bro-ish, but he's not as bro-ish as he was in Whedon's cut. But also, there are small interactions between the teammates that are actually really kind of heartwarming. Like, you see Flash and Aquaman joking around just before they're about to infiltrate that base. So, like, there are small things here and there that really do work in this cut that I really appreciated. Now, to Ian's point about the characterization of these characters, like, I completely agree that Batman in BVS and in this one too, he's not really the Batman that I know and love. Like, he's not the detective that we're used to. And also, even how he fights is different. Like, in this movie, he's running and gunning like he's a Punisher. Like, that's not Batman. Batman doesn't run a gun. Batman uses batarangs. He uses like all kinds of weird weapons to beat his foes. And he's like a ninja. This isn't what we got in this movie. And look, that's just their take on him. But it's also with like Superman too. Like, you know, how Superman is personified in this movie of being kind of, he's more hopeful in this movie, but still, it's still kind of like a darker side to him. You don't really see that normal hopeful Superman that I'm used to. I guess, spoiler alert, the ending of the movie, the epilogue, where you see where that goes, if that was always his vision to go that way that quickly, I don't like it, to be honest. But I do think that the characterization of these characters is very different than what than typically we see them. Yeah, I see the rest of my time.
Well, you know, you guys bring up an interesting point about like how these characters are portrayed, right? I mean, Mark, you've talked in the past about how this is not the Superman that you know, right? Yeah. Do you think that is true to the comic books?
In some cases, yes. In some cases, no. Like, I think Snyder has a complete lack of but knowledge of Batman, Superman, even like the Flash. He kind of gets the Flash right for the most part. Wonder Woman, she's Wonder Woman. She's good. But again, that was set up by Patty Jenkins. And Aquaman was set up in his own movie, but that was after this movie. So I think, you know, Aquaman isn't the Aquaman from the comics. He's a very different Aquaman. I actually like this version of Aquaman, but who he does nail Cyborg. He nails Cyborg in this story. That's also one of the things about this version of the movie that is a lot better is Cyborg.
It's not that. I'm like just pointing out on what you're speaking on. Yeah, you do get a lot more Cyborg because they actually gave you back Cyborg's story.
Yeah, exactly. And that's
great.
That's important to his story. Like, all that backstory was key to understanding Cyborg's journey throughout this film, which we didn't cut out most of it.
He did. But then, like, to your point about Batman, I think maybe, and I don't know if this is just something that you haven't focused on, but like you're saying that this is not the Batman, not the Batman that you know and you love, but it's also Batman 20 years after the fact. This is older Batman.
No, true.
But so you're not going to have Ninja Batman anymore because, you know, his bones hurt.
No, but even when Batman's older, even when Batman is like ancient, he still is doing like, he never uses guns. Like,
right, he's angry. This is like from Batman versus Superman. This is angry Batman. So to me, I took it as, like he says, my superpower is that I'm rich.
Yeah, but I mean, at least from like what I remember of Batman, he abhorred using guns. And the one time that I saw him use a gun is when he was like 80 years old. And then when he used the gun to hold somebody up because he was going to kill him, he quit being Batman because he was like, I can't be Batman.
Right, but this is also like parademons. Like, we're not like walking around like killing humans, right?
No, I know, but you know, if you're going to do Batman, you know, I don't know. I just think that like Batman does not use guns. Like, I'm okay with him killing. I get it. I mean, you're going to kill. But the using of guns, it's just, that's not Batman to me. That's just not who it should be.
Can I add something to that, Mark?
Yeah, go.
Originally, Batman did use guns. Year one. Yeah, year one. McFarlane drew that. He did use guns. A second, there's leeway when you're doing like alternate realities, alternate time. They've already established that, you know, different characters do have different techniques in the multiverse. And plus, Batman's always been presented a little differently when he's with the Justice League versus by himself. Because how is it Batman can, like, fuck with Darkseid on Saturday and get knocked out by a crackhead on Sunday? His techniques have to be different when he's dealing with metahumans. Those bullets aren't going to affect parademons the same way they are going to humans. Like, it's a different scenario. So he's still Batman, but it's an older, grizzled Batman who's going against parademons, Darkseid, Stephen Wolf. He's got to bridge that gap. Like, he's not fighting crackheads and like super Joker and all this other stuff in Gotham. Like, he's not fighting like mortal enemies. I mean, he's fighting fair. People with superpowers.
That's fair. But at the same time, even when so my main focus is from the cartoon, the Batman animated series. So whenever,
which is the best, which is the best.
So that's why I hold true. So even in those instances where he's fighting parademons and fighting Darkseid, in those instances, he's still using his grappling. He's using his ninja skill. He's never used a gun on the. And so maybe he used it in Batman Year One. Fine. Didn't read that comic. I don't know.
But even in Justice League Unlimited, he used, you know, he used artillery against, like,
I mean, that's different. Artillery is, I mean, you're using it for your...
All right, but that's exactly what he's using in the Justice League movie. Again, he's not fighting street criminals. He's fighting aliens.
It's just weird seeing him run and gun. It's just, that's
That's fair. All right, but I'm just saying, it's not weird.
Death match between Mark and Omar on the next podcast.
Yes, one point about what something that Mark said. I disagree with Snyder not being knowledgeable about DC stuff.
I didn't say I didn't say knowledgeable. I said...
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I said he wasn't appreciative sometimes of certain of the character, like Superman.
Okay, that's fair, because like the end credit scene felt very much like a prequel to Injustice, which is like the video game. You know, the fact that he included Harley Quinn, and there's certain things that I was like, okay, wow, like he does know DC lore.
No, I didn't say he didn't have knowledge. I said he didn't appreciate certain aspects.
Okay, that's different. My apologies. I take that back. I'm sorry.
To your point, Mark, I'm trying to figure out, are you talking about the guns on the Batmobile, or are you talking about the guns he uses in the Nightmare sequence, or are you talking about the space gun that he steers away from the Parademon and uses? There's never been a shot where he actually holds a handgun and uses it.
The Parademon scene where there are a few scenes where he grabs guns from the Parademons and uses them against them.
Yeah, but those are like laser guns. They're not even real guns. It'd be one thing if you were seeing Batman hold a handgun and shoot it. He shoots a Gatling gun from his Batmobile at one point. Because the thing is, like, this is based on, you know, they're trying to pull the, you know, that, and that's going back to Omar's thing is, I agree. I don't think it's necessarily a knock against Snyder's knowledge. It's more, this is Snyder's take on the universe. And because he was coming out of the Nolanverse, which is based in reality, and they're going against Marvel, which is based in reality, they can't necessarily do the normal comic version of these characters, because they're not going to have Batman spewing oil outside of his Batmobile, or, you know, to stop villains. He's just going to have a straight up gun. And he's going to stop him that way, because that's just the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, when they announced Batman versus Superman, like, I remember people went apeshit just on the idea of them on live action cinema fighting, and we've never had that before.
Yeah, I feel that they rushed to that. I feel that they could have put another movie in between and then done that, but that's just my thought.
I think they should have done, I agree with you, and they should have done another Superman movie to kind of solidify his arc as being a more hopeful character. And then you do BVS.
Yeah, right? That's the one beef I have with these movies. It's like, I feel like they kind of downplay, like, Superman is supposed to be about hope, about, like, being better. And I feel like at times it's a little too cynical.
Well, yeah, especially in BVS,
Especially in Man of Steel, you could even argue. Like, with Jonathan Kent. Portrayal in Man of Steel. No, like, the whole hurricane scene, the tornado scene, was ridiculous. Like, he totally could have saved Jonathan from the hurricane, and everyone would have been like, oh, you're awesome. We're going to keep your secret, because it's fucking Smallville. Like, the whole, like, don't do it, son. Let me die in a tornado was ridiculous.
I agree. That isn't the best way of doing it. I agree. That was a pretty dumb way of killing off Jonathan Kent.
Like, he has to die, but, like, not like that.
No, I agree.
Like, it should have been, because, like, him dying in the original Superman, Christopher Reeves, what was awesome about that was that it was just a heart attack.
Yeah.
For all of Superman's powers, there was nothing he could do. And, like, that is Superman. Like, dealing with tragedy, that, like, there's nothing, despite all his powers, there's nothing he can do about.
No, yeah, that's a fair take. And so for me, I agree that scene sucks, but,
Ruins the movie for me to some extent.
Not for me. Like, I can take that and be like, all right, I get what they're trying to do. Because as a real father, I mean, I'm not a real father, but, like, as I can see, like, as a real father would have an issue with their son and have be fearful of what their son would go through with those kind of powers. I get that. I can see where he's coming from. So I get the inclination to try to protect his son. I just didn't like the way they handled that scene.
It was ridiculous. Scene. It was fucking ridiculous. Jonathan Kent's like Ben Parker. Like, there's just some things you don't fuck with. Like, Jonathan Kent and Martha are like an inspiration to Clark on being a better person. On because the whole point of Superman is having godlike power and not being a dick with it. And he gets that from Martha and Jonathan. So Jonathan being a cynical dick, it's like, where does he get that optimism? Where does he get that hope from? Don't get me wrong. I like Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it from an action standpoint. But from an emotional standpoint, like, that scene killed it for me.
I see what you're saying. But I still feel like that Jonathan was inspiration in his life because, look, he might have been kind of cynical about how humans are. But at the end of the day, he did say, I think you'll change the world. I think you'll be better for the world, right? But it's up to you to figure out how you do that. So that's a very, you know, adult way of approaching that situation, of talking to your son and being like, this, it'll be you determine your future. You will determine how the world sees you. He just didn't think Clark was ready for that responsibility yet. And now, is that a great take? Maybe not. I don't know. But, you know, I agree the way they handled his death was poor. It didn't ruin it for me because I got where they're trying to go with it.
Yeah, but getting what they're trying to go with and knowing that they failed at it.
I wouldn't say they failed. Like,
you know, they failed. Come on. Like, I get you're trying to be sympathetic because it's like, okay, I know what they were trying to do. But the fact that they were trying to do it and they failed, it's like, okay, that's a knock against the film.
I don't think they failed. I think they didn't do a great job. It doesn't mean they failed.
Well, I think the DC Universe made a distinct decision early on to make this a more realistic, it was a more realistic take than Marvel, right? And I think Superman's dad's perspective on his powers and how he could survive in the world was a realistic take on it, right?
It's not necessarily realistic. Doesn't always have to mean dour.
Yeah, but
or
I don't think it was because dour. Because people,
he told his son, you will change the world. Like he told his son that, dude, that whoever you become, you will change the world.
He also told him he should have left a bus full of kids to die.
I know. I hate that scene too.
That scene sucks.
It sucks. I know.
Again, it's parts of the whole, right? Like, overall, I enjoyed it. There are parts of it I didn't like, and those are it.
Like, you can never know how someone will react when they have a superpowered child who can do anything.
Well, of course. No, of course.
You never know what the reaction is going to be to that. So, you know, any take is going to be someone's vision of how a parent would handle that. And look, to be fair, if I had a kid who had powers like that, I'd be scared too. I'd be terrified of what they could do and how people would see them. Especially if you care about your child. Like,
that's fair.
You're going to be terrified about what the government will do to your child if they were finding they can do these things. Like, the amount of fear you would have as a parent for your child must be enormous, right? So I get why he says those things. Do I like it? No, but I understand why he's saying that. And that's why I don't mind it too much because, look, you could argue that execution is poor, but at the same time, the reason why I don't like that scene, the bus scene, is because, yeah, that's a step too far in that scene. But the reason why I don't hate the hurricane scene is because I completely get why he would do that. I mean, if that were my son, I would probably tell him to do the same thing. Don't fucking save me. Protect yourself.
All I have to say to this is, I think what he was trying to do is, because the hope aspect of this, of Superman, actually comes from his real parents. That's what they play up. They play up with what Jor-El does to him and says to him and tries to teach him and tries to, from the grave, and how the fact that the S means hope in his world. They don't bring it from the humans. They try to show that these aliens were this way already, and that's who he is at the core. And that's the people that he came from, not just beyond these two humans that he grew up with. That's what I think.
That's actually a very good point.
That's a very good point. Yeah.
Right. Because then the Kents just give him the humanity that he needs growing up in Smallville and dealing now with being on this planet once he figures out his powers and what he's doing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you need that humanity so that he can be like, he can look at a human person and be like, I understand because I grew up as a human, even though I'm an alien.
Exactly. I can't lie. That scene in Justice League, that wasn't in the original, I don't think, where like the intercut audio from like Jonathan and Jor-El, like that was a great scene.
When he's walking
right, that his hallway. both of his fathers are speaking to him.
Yeah. No, that was a great scene.
Where you see the suit of the...
But I can't lie, it still feels like they're trying to fix a mistake they made in Man of Steel. That's a personal take on it.
Yeah, I mean, I actually agree that they went a little dour with him, but I didn't think it killed Man of Steel. It killed BVS for me. I mean, they went too far.
Well, at least the original theatrical version.
Even in the extended cut, it's still...
I haven't seen the extended cut. I might watch that tonight, actually.
The extended cut
is... Are you
is
unprepared?
The same.
I'm always unprepared. That's just who I am. Yeah, I don't know shit, and I'm going to talk shit.
Like, the extended cut is just more footage. There's nothing really changed with the characters. But, yeah, I mean, Superman says not everyone stays good on this world. Who's that? Superman.
That's not Superman.
That's not Superman.
No, you know what that is? That's the human side of him, though. Remember, he grew up human.
But the point of Superman is what we can be.
godly, but he's not godly. He was raised as a human. He knows right. that he can't be a god. That's but why some he people, says it. Some people go bad.
That's the other side of the coin. He's saying there's two sides. He's not saying yeah. there's only one side. He's saying, I'm going to try, but all I could do is try. And if he doesn't, then that's what's going to happen. I'm saving my mom over him. I'm sorry.
Right.
Look, that's fair. He did say that. But at the same time, like, that is such a dark take from Superman that, you know, I've never seen him ever say that. I mean, unless he's going in the bad version of Superman where he takes over the world, fine. That's that version of Superman. But from the one that the traditional Superman that we all, you know about, he does not say things like that. He always, because he knows he's godlike. He knows certain things. He's like, he has godlike powers, and that, you know, he has to keep that positive mentality. If he falls into that negative emotion, it could really end up badly for people around him. Superman knows that. That's he's why he's so positive. Yeah. But to the point though, I'm not mad at Superman going dark. That doesn't bother me. My point is that they went too quickly in that direction. Like, I would have preferred.
Oh, I agree with you on that.
They would have built up him being that symbol of light, and then that way, when the turn happens, it's that much more effective. Like, I think they just jumped too quickly into that dark. Stop making faces, Omar.
But just think about how you like it. I think it's just an interesting take that you like have to find the good because the good's not there, because you're someone that can do anything, right? And you see all this destruction around you. You see beauty, but you see all this destruction around you. And it's kind of hard, especially when people are so quick to assume that he's the worst in everything. So it's like, I get it. And it's an interesting, I felt it was always an interesting take. And I've liked it a lot how it's kind of been dark, because I feel like that's the one aspect that we don't really see in a lot of things for years with Superman. Sorry, I yield my time to Erica.
Well, no, it's just to add to that. I mean, the only time that you ever saw Superman do something crazy was because there was like red kryptonite around, right? Is when he would turn.
He's gone dark before. And again, I'm not mad at Superman going dark. Like all things, I want them to take their time with it. And this is my biggest problem with DC, the DCEU. They rushed everything to compete with Marvel. They should have built it out like, I mean, I don't want to say Marvel did, but like, yeah, like take your time with it, build your characters out, and make a better story. Don't rush to Justice League just to compete with Marvel. Like, honestly, if DC had done that and built it out, like took their time with it, they'd be in a much better position right now.
To be fair, though, like, but then they'd be criticized for copying Marvel's plan.
So what? That works. It makes money. Dude, like, I don't care if DC copies Marvel's strategy.
But I appreciate them trying to do something different.
But they're not.
Let Snyder have his cut, we go back in time and let Snyder do his thing.
4-hour movie? I mean, well, come no, on.
But you know that that's not the, we wouldn't have gotten that cut.
No, that's my point though. Like, no matter.
But this would have been a two movie. This obviously would have been either two movies or 1 3-hour movie.
No. This movie was meant to be one movie. They were not going to double cut this movie. It was meant to be one movie. And Warner Brothers, and look, to Zach's credit, they gave him a stipulation. They were like, no, Justice League has to be 2 hours long. He was like,
well, they hampered him. They did.
But I mean, to Zach's credit, they gave him that stipulation. He was like, well, fuck, what do I do?
Okay, so it sounds like we all are fans of this Snyder cut, right? But what does this mean for the DCU, right? I mean, DCU has lagged behind MCU for so long, but you know, does the Snyder cut throw kind of a wrench into the DCU plans, right? Fans so far seem to be like there's lots of like positive sentiment about it. Does this change their direction? Omar, what's your take?
I mean, if they're smart, I mean, at the end of the day, it's about making money. So if you release a Snyder cut and everyone hated the original cut and now everyone likes the new cut, you know, I don't think WB thought people would like it. I don't think that they just did it to make a quick cash grab. And I don't think they were expecting the positive response, which kind of you could argue that they've never had faith in him. I'm hoping that there's a third movie, because the way it ended, it's like, okay, I now want to see the Dark Side Invasion.
To that point, right? So there were supposed to be five movies. Superman was the first movie. BVS was the second. Justice League was the third. And there were going to be two more movies, according to Snyder's vision. There were going to be two more movies to kind of complete the five movie kind of like saga. you know, just an article in Vanity Fair came out where, you know, Snyder talked about how he doesn't expect to return to the DC universe. He left the door open, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen. And he kind of like spilled the beans on what his vision was. But listen, I mean,
money talks and bullshit walks.
Yeah,
if they offer him enough money, he'll be back.
Do we want to see this Snyder vision, you know, completed?
Yes. I've heard this argument that if he was a good storyteller, he could have done this with less time. And that, I feel that's a fair argument. That's a fair criticism. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I like what I saw. I mean, could some scenes have been cut? Yes. But I didn't feel the 4 hours. I enjoyed what I saw more so than the original cut. And yes, I'd like to see a third movie with Darkseid.
I was going to say, yes, I agree with Omar.
Of course you do.
I think the expansion of this would be great. I think it's a brilliant move by Snyder to say I'm done, because now us, the fan base, the people, the nerds, whoever you want to call us, geeks, we will clamor and attack them and say, why won't you bring him back? Same way we did with, you know, James Gunn and Disney. And that kind of worked. But now because Snyder has walked away and he's not begging, you know, he didn't take any money for this. He basically said, I'll do this for free just to do this because I want this to be done. You know, so they didn't pay him for the, you know, for this version of the film. Yeah, obviously put money into it, but at that point they weren't releasing their whole schedule of 2021 on HBO Max. This was going to be the one big draw of 2021 for HBO Max was this cut. And that was really it at that point. It's a win if it works. You know, it's a win if it loses, because it proves that they weren't wrong in their original stepping in of Justice League and Batman versus Superman. It's the same thing where they just like essentially trying to prove themselves right, because they are the big corporation and we make the decisions and we know what the fans like. And no, you don't, because just what you said, Mike, you give a guy a 5-picture deal, you want to see his, like when I read this, I didn't read the script, but I heard parts of the scripts that were leaked, and with the whole scene, you know, spoiler alert for anyone that wants to, you know, if anything ever gets made again, but how this ends up falling apart for Batman, just Justice League and Darkseid. I thought that was going to be in this film. I really thought that that was going to happen in this film because of all the footage we saw of Darkseid, which I hate that they used every single piece of footage that we saw of Darkseid in the, whatever trailers were used. I don't like that at all. I'd rather them just hold back and not show us that. But as I've said before, DC, their bread and butter is not modeling themselves after the MCU, is kind of having these different kind of universes. And they've done that. They've done well in television, even though I won't watch a television show from them. They have that good, you know, fan base with that. And then they have their movies, and then they have their separate movies kind of fan. You know, so it's like you can do, they're setting us up where you can have multiple Batmans at once at the same time and not confuse the audience, because you know what? We're not morons. We've already had multiple versions of these characters. So it's not that hard to believe, to go, oh, I like, you know, I'm a fan of the Ben Affleck version of Batman. And then, or there's a person that's like, I'm a fan of the Robert Pattinson version of Batman that we'll probably never see. So my thing is, basically, I think they could keep this Justice League going and keep going with whatever they have going on, you know, and they could bring them together and they could not. You know, I would love to see what happens in this nightmare sequence. You know, I would love to see more of that. That Jared Leto scene, spoilers, was amazing. It was like I enjoyed that so much. And I was like, oh, man. I just want to see this guy just punch him in his face. Like he's so close to just hitting him. And to the point, to Mark's point, the gun-toting Batman had restraint to not hit him in the face at that point.
And he also cursed. And he also cursed Batman.
He said, when I fucking kill you.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Can I just want to add, I just want to add to what Ian said. I feel like, yeah, Warner Brothers has kind of learned their lesson. The fact that we have a Superman Lois TV show. Which has been well received. I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to soon, but it's been well received, and it still exists alongside. Superman, and I mean, but they also, to be fair, Ian Byer doesn't know because he admittedly hasn't watched DC shows. Shame on you.
No shame, but, Ian.
But the DC, the TV universe has actually embrace the multiverse and Warner Brothers as a whole, because the Ezra Miller was on Flash, on the CW Flash, and it's canon that he got his name, The Flash, from the Barry Allen from the CW show.
And I like that. I like that they do that. And I think that that's a part of, you kind of have to do that, right?
Yeah, I love the fact that they did that. And I like that. I was like, oh, Flash, that's a cool name. I'm taking that.
And Flash, you know, Flash is the character to do that with, because Flash can always reset the timeline no matter what.
Which he did in the movie.
He messes up all the time.
Yeah, yeah. That was like the most popular meme, I feel like, in 2020 when everything was going wrong. That was the meme, like, God damn it, Barry Allen.
I mean, just to give you my opinion on where I think this is going, I'm not honestly sure. Like, I sit in that world where I'm not that invested, let's say, comic book wise, in what like the story is. To what you have now given me for 4 hours and 2 minutes, do I want to continue to see where this can go? Absolutely. Introducing Darkseid as the baddie to the point that it's just like his ending, spoilers, that he's just like, we'll do it the old way and like grab the Armada. So like, we're going to go invade. Absolutely. I want to see where you could go with that. I would want another movie. I feel that getting this version actually makes me appreciate Batman. So I don't hate Ben Affleck as Batman in this
movie. I never did.
I didn't love him in Justice League originally.
He's a good actor. People sleep on him.
I love Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck as Batman.
I'm the exact opposite. I'm not a huge Ben Affleck fan, but I think he actually conveys the best looking, not looking like he's good looking, like as far as like looks wise of how I think Batman should look. Yeah.
Yes.
He's got a jaw that fits the mask. He's tall. He's, you know, he can be debonair as Bruce Wayne if he needs to be. Yeah, you don't want him talking very long. I get that. But, you know, he looks like the Dark Knight.
And to his credit, he was able to balance that like stoic, like Batman persona with like a few lighthearted comments here and there. And he still, even when he was lighthearted, he was still like,
well, no, but like, I like that he plays an older Bat, because I see him as just an older Batman, and I feel, because he constantly mentions it, like, even when he's talking to, like, you know, Aquaman, he's like, really, you dressed up like a bat? And he's like, well, it worked for 20 years in Gotham. It's like, he just solidifies the fact that, all right, I'm 20 years into this.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get here because I know that something's coming and I need your help. And I ended up loving him more as Batman here than I did before.
And I also,
he really liked 20 pounds between scenes. So that was impressive.
Yeah. Right. Like, he didn't feel so stiff. Like, when he shaves on the jet, like, you could be like, oh, great. You look a little tanned and you're a little thinner. I see it. You're putting it together. I like it.
But also, I just want to add, I like the fact that, like, Ben Affleck as an actor, I like that he portrayed that this is someone who is his whole life been like cynical and like, and he's trying to fill that role of Superman in terms of like inspiring hope and like trying to get these people to come together. He did that very well.
I made a promise. I made a promise at his grave, and that's why he pushes so hard.
Which goes to like Batman and Bruce Wayne as being like so driven, like because he made that promise. He's like, I'm going to see it through. Like, very Batman.
He made the promise to his parents at their grave, and he made the promise to Superman at his grave.
Right, right. And to me, that's very Batman. Like, the whole, like, he's going to see this through. And you could see, like, at times where he was, like, kind of uncomfortable with that role, but, like, he was undeterred. He was going to do this.
Maybe a man that broods in a cave by himself shouldn't be recruiting other people.
That was a low blow.
I love
it. Goddamn. I still don't like Jared Leto as the Joker. he wasn't maniacal enough.
That was
this scene that I didn't like him in Suicide Squad, but this scene I was like, oh, this is great. Like I was like, this is who we wanted Jared Leto to be as the Joker. Yo, it wasn't Suicide Squad.
Jared Joker Leto needs says, to be this like is my evolution from Suicide Squad to being in this movie.
But like Joker needs to be bombastic. Like I don't want subtle laughter from Joker. Like like I want
it's literally a post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, and Joker doesn't give a shit about that.
Yeah,
if anything, that would make Joker him laugh more.
Joker likes to kill people. Joker likes to do whatever he wants in regular life. Now he's like, oh, this motherfucker just kills people, and we got Superman just running around killing whoever he wants.
Like,
oh,
you okay. Could people
you're not telling me that Joker doesn't find that funny?
But one question I wanted to say, did anyone else have a problem with what the fuck Lex Luthor's motivation was in all of this? Like, what is his endgame?
Beginning to end.
Wait, all of a sudden, by the way, Lex Luthor is in a Dapper Dan, he's in Gene Hackman Lex Luthor mode all of a sudden, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. It's like he's kind of like this, like Mark Zuckerberg, kind of like, you know.
Fred, I took over the company from my father. I'm still exactly. young.
And then all of hair. A sudden, right. And then all of a sudden he's like, you know, he's like this, he's got it all figured out kind of like villain.
I feel like they finally got him right. Cause it's like when they announced that, what's his name?
Eisenberg
was cast as Lex Luthor. I was like, that's perfect. He only has to be Eisenberg, and that's it. Jesse Eisenberg.
That's enough Lex.
Right. And then it's like, okay, and then he started acting all goofy and shit in BVS. I was like, oh, he fucking killed it. The fuck?
Right, but
like, made me so angry. But like, just be Jesse Eisenberg.
But to Ian's question, I think the motivation was because he has that one line where he says, where were you when I was feeling my father's wrath? Where was Superman when he was getting his ass whooped by his father? Because that's what it sounds like he was abused a lot by his dad.
Right.
Even though he talks about his father throughout the entire movie. Well, my dad would have said this, or my dad would have done, you know, he said this, he said that.
Yeah. That's what he said. He's basically doing the opposite of his father.
Right. He's like, where were you when I was feeling my father's wrath? Meaning he was never saved by Superman.
We'll leave the conversation here. Thanks so much for listening to the first episode of the Inebriated Podcast. On behalf of Mark, Ian, Omar, and Erica, we thank you for listening, and we hope you tune in again. Cheers.